And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside. Willie is headed to the airport in Toronto with the team, and they are headed to Montreal, and they will not play until Saturday night. Of course, their game tomorrow night in Ottawa has been postponed. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Chase, what kind of shirt do you have on? What do I see?
Very,
very proud.
I am. The World Series champion Atlanta Braves shirt. I'm wearing that today.
You know what's interesting is yesterday the Manager of the Year Awards came out. I think today Cy Young comes out. And help me with this because I could be off. But I was thinking about this last night because I was kind of looking at who's the favorites. And, gosh, it could be a Nashvillian that wins the Cy Young, right?
Yeah.
I think in the American League. I think there's a real shot that happens. And I was looking at all that, and I'm like going through all the awards because this is where they're just going to start doling out the awards. The team that won the World Series, are they going to win any award?
Like I don't know.
Am I missing
something? I don't think so.
Like, they're not going to win any awards, right?
I mean, they won a ton of Gold Gloves and Silver Sluggers, but that's
about
it.
No, I'm talking about, you know, MVPs, Cy Youngs, Manager of the Year, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can make the case.
Not that matters, but it is kind of strange, right, for the team that wins the World Series?
Well, Snitker won Manager of the Year, I want to say it was last year, maybe the year before. I know he's won it. But, I mean, I get it, Gabe Kapler, what the Giants did. The Giants weren't picked to do anything, and they win their division. So, I mean, I totally get that.
Did anybody even pick them to go 500?
I don't think so. I mean, their odds were
What was their
crazy.
Over-under on wins?
That's a good question.
It couldn't have been 80. I bet it was in the 70s. I don't know that, but
probably.
I mean, the way everybody was – I mean, literally no one – was talking about the Giants. It was just Padres, well, Dodgers, and then Padres, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so I get that. But yeah, I mean, they didn't have a Cy Young candidate because, you know, they just, Fried had injuries and they just weren't that caliber.
Well,
MVP is the only one that you can make the potential case for with Austin Riley. Austin Riley.
Really, though? Okay. I mean, but he's not going to win, though, right?
I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's the closest to making a case for anything.
Look, I guess your best counter to that question is to say, hey, it's a team game. And
yeah, they won the only trophy anybody cares about. So.
Right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, and, you know, the reality is who gives a crap? Nobody cares if your team wins at all. Who cares about all the awards? But I'm just simply pointing out, like, isn't that strange? Like, the team that won it, and I can't think, unless I'm missing something, I can't think of anybody that's going to win an award.
Yeah. I don't think so. But whatever.
Interesting.
I don't care.
Yeah. So you've got your World Series shirt on today?
I do. The reports are that things are moving along with Freddie Freeman, but he wants the sixth year, and that's kind of the holdup.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is. That's what I said. That's what we were talking about it yesterday. Like,
yeah,
what he wants. Like, I'm not. You guys were acting like, oh, it's just going to happen. It's like, well, I understand they want him back, but I mean, are they? I don't think the Braves are the type that, with this new regime, are just going to do anything right at any cost. I mean, I don't get that vibe. You may feel differently. I know it's Freddie Freeman. I get it. He's Mr. Brave. I get it. But they don't seem like they're not extremely far away, but they're not really close either. Fair?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's all about that year, though. And he just completed an 8-year, $135 million contract. That was the largest contract in franchise history when he signed it. But 6 years takes him to age 37, and, you know, I get that. That, you know, the numbers will show you that wouldn't age well. But I just feel like they'll get it figured out. They'll come to a compromise. I just don't see him going anywhere else. I just really don't.
It is certainly hard to imagine.
I know there are other – I know the Yankees are supposedly involved, and you know all your teams that you always expect to be involved in something like that. But I think the Braves will end up getting it done.
So this is not the shirt that you were showcasing on Twitter, you and Jared.
No,
you had Braves shirts on. This is a different one.
Yeah. Yeah, this one just came in yesterday. I ordered this literally after the last out. This is the locker room championship shirt. I ordered a bunch of things, but
yeah, I was gonna say I'm surprised you haven't had one on every day.
Well, it's they're taking their time to come in.
So. Well, that is true. Believe me, I know all about that. Things are not quick.
Yeah,
unless it's being made in our backyard, it's not quick.
Well, like I have a World Series hoodie that I got, which was the dugout hoodie that they wore during the World Series. So that I ordered that after they punched their ticket. I have an NLCS championship shirt. I have the National League pennant that came in already, but I'm waiting on the World Series pennant. So there's a lot of different things that are going to be coming in.
So you guys had the breaking tees on, right?
Yes. Yeah. I had the.
Those are cool shirts.
They're awesome. I had the Waffle House one.
I was going to say, yours looks like the Waffle House. So I okay, I figured that's what it was. I was like, that looks like the Waffle House logo. So that's the whole point of it? Okay.
Yeah. And then Jared had Party Like It's 1995.
Yeah,
it's
basically that one. That's a terrible
the 1995.
Shirt.
I know you do.
Terrible
but
shirt.
But it's the 1995 World Series logo. So that's what he had. They had some good ones. They had one with Ron Washington, Send Him Wash.
Jocktober.
That was pretty good. Jocktober. So they definitely have.
Didn't they even have a Die Hard reference?
Like
they had a
Die Hard Atlanta, yeah. They had that. The Night Shift with the pitchers on it. They have the Coca-Cola Atlanta Champions Killed the Narrative. We just might be those world champs. So that's a great. If you haven't read that Jock Peterson's piece on the Players Tribune on that whole thing of like we are those MFers, it's a great story of how that all came to be. Because it basically was he had just gotten to the team, and it was because of a card game. He was playing cards with the pitchers on the plane, and the plane landed, and he ended up going on the bus with the pitchers. And everybody looked at him like, why are you on the bus with the pitchers? And he said, because y'all are the blank that are going to win us the World Series. And that's how it all came to be.
Care to guess, if you haven't seen, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets this weekend?
I'm going to assume it's not Mike White.
Is it Vinny Testaverde?
That's a really good guess. That's a really
that is
good,
a good
guess. But it's not Vinny Testaverde.
Is he
it's
still
not,
playing?
It's not Neil O'Donnell. It's not Mike White because he threw four picks last week. And apparently Zach Wilson is not ready to come back yet from his PCL strain.
Well, who else do they have? I don't even know who else they have.
By the way, I feel like the answer is just – it's to me, it's along the same lines as Vinny Testaverde.
Mark Sanchez.
I'm not surprised – or I don't know the difference between Vinny Testaverde and this quarterback that they're playing.
Plot twist, they actually traded to get Sam Darnold back.
No, they did not.
No. Okay.
That would be one Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. Wow. I forgot they did that because he was with Philly and then they got him back.
Yeah. Good luck on Sunday.
Can he still throw?
Well, apparently. So,
is there anything left in that?
Unless they're not throwing on Sunday. They have not come out and said the game plan is not to throw. But, yeah. Joe Flacco.
Right.
So good luck with that, New York Jets. Joe Flacco. How many people even knew he was still in the league?
Well, clearly I forgot he was with the Jets, so. Yeah. Well,
there's your answer.
Yeah, you're right. I guess Vinny Testaverde was a closer guess than I imagined.
Yeah, actually, I really thought, you know, you kind of deserved a point for Vinny Testaverde because it's not far off.
Vinny Testaverde played for a long time for a lot of teams.
He did. He did.
Tampa, Cleveland, Baltimore, the Jets, Dallas, New England, Carolina. A lot of teams.
Predators fall in Toronto last night 3-0 to the Leafs. Leafs look like the real deal.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
I mean, not the scoring stuff. Like, that's – we know they're, you know, what they can do offensively. To me, it's really more about on the back end. Like, Jack Campbell looks –
they got a goalie.
Legit.
Yeah.
And Peter Mrazek is your backup. No shame in that when he's healthy. And, you know, they made life difficult for the Predators. They just don't look like a team that, you know, doesn't have any interest in playing defense. They were forechecking last night. They were getting after it. That win game, well, not the, well, I guess it wasn't the game winning goal. That second goal on the game, the one in the late in the third period, that was just, that's work ethic right there. That's just winning battles.
Yeah.
And so they don't look like a finesse team, you know, that just wants to, don't touch me. Let's just get, you know, pass to the, you know, Austin Matthews, you know, he's really good. Nylander, oh, he's really good. That Marner guy, oh, he's really good. Tavares, oh, he's really good. Like, don't touch us, though, because we're scared. We don't want to get hit. No. I mean, I'm going to keep my eye on them. They seem like a legit team in the Eastern Conference.
No, I think they finally might be, and the key is going to be Jack Campbell. I mean, he's a guy that's been around a while, former first-round pick by the Dallas Stars, spent a lot of time with the Kings, but now he's been in Toronto the last few years, seems to be the go-to guy. I mean, he's got a GAA below 2 right now, and that was the thing. You look at the stat sheet last night, it was 1-0 for a majority of the game, but the Predators only got 24 shots on net and just couldn't do anything with it. And so, you know, they had the late couple goals. Toronto scored a couple goals late. Pretty impressive-looking team with a lot of firepower.
No doubt about it. We'll come back. We'll talk with Paul Feinbaum. Hey, Paul. We'll talk to him next here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Coach Stack. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. You know what that music means. Every day at 2 o'clock over on 94.9, you can listen to this man's show. He's Paul Feinbaum. He joins us every Wednesday on the program, and he's brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good morning, Paul. How are we doing?
Doing great, guys. Good morning.
Tell you what, no one should ever accuse Dave Aranda for not having, let's see, how do I clean this up for radio purposes? Having the guts, the wherewithal to do what – I mean, I got to be honest. When I saw that live, I was like, wow, it's on. What did you make of the fans storming the field? They get the fans off the field. Aranda calls a timeout and kicks a field goal against Oklahoma. Then his explanation is for point differential in tiebreakers. I was like, woo, all right.
Yeah, I mean – it sounded convoluted, but if it turned out that there was a tie and he missed it by 2 points, then his fans would be wondering, why didn't you do something? So I think it was a bold, ballsy move, and quite frankly, watching Lincoln Riley cry was the highlight of the weekend. I mean, here's a guy that runs it up against he runs it up on the scrimmage Saturday in the spring.
So it didn't bother you a bit?
No, not in the slightest. I mean, coaches complaining is such a bad look when, you know, some guy, you know, say, I don't know why they scored. We're up 49, down 49. I mean, just shut up. And I mean, you lost. Get out of there.
Yeah. Indeed they did. So their season, the committee already showed that they didn't really love them. Now you can kiss that goodbye. So we were talking yesterday. Justin Fuente is out. We got to, you know him a little bit with his days in Memphis. He's out at Virginia Tech. But more importantly, we were just discussing, like, what is that job? you know, Frank Beamer's body of work there was unbelievable when you think about all the double-digit win seasons he had at Virginia Tech. But sitting here today in late 2021, for the next guy who's going to take it over in 2022, Paul, what kind of job is that?
I think it's a pretty average, mediocre job. I mean, first of all, the recruiting base is narrow, and I'm not enough of a Virginian to know, you know, you have to go down Hampton Road and all these, the beach. I mean, there are all these weird sections of Virginia. By the way, I always used to get it confused. I always thought Virginia Tech was in West Virginia. It just sounds like it belongs in West Virginia, doesn't it? And outside, I mean, even Frank Beamer had a rough time at the end because of recruiting. You know, if you're a player in that state, you go to North Carolina, you go to Virginia. If you're a five star, you go to Georgia, Alabama, or somewhere else, or maybe Clemson. Unless you're part of that culture of it has to go anywhere.
I think today, trying to figure out, like, we can all come up with names, but in the end, I feel like we miss more than we get right with, you know, trying to connect the dots of who's going to be the next coach. And I know there's a lot of factors because a lot of coaches say no or what have you. So ultimately, you see all the names out there, but ultimately, who do you think they end up landing to be the next Virginia Tech coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the usual suspects are you know, go to Central Casting and dig up Jamie Chadwell and Billy Napier and all these names that keep popping up. What I think is so interesting, though, is that 6 years ago, Justin Fuente was probably the hottest coach in the country. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, South Carolina wanted him, and ultimately he said no, and they ended up looking at Kirby Smart, which ended up getting Mark Richt fired, and then I believe they hired Muschamp. So, you know, you think about hot coaches over the last 5 or 6 years. The hottest coaches have been Justin Fuente, Tom Herman, Scott Frost, and Chip Kelly. And,
ooh.
And these were number one on everybody's list. These weren't just, you know, the Billy Napiers of the world who were good but always a bridesmaid. I mean, these were the top line guys, and none of them have worked out, which brings us to where we are right now. I mean, you really better know what you're doing, because if you go outside the box, and not outside the box, if you go traditional hot coach Tom Herman-esque, what are the odds? And you know, Steve Sarkisian was the hottest coach of last year. Hmm. He's hanging on by a thread right now.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. You didn't bring up Hugh Freeze, so let's do our weekly Hugh Freeze chat. Is this the off season where he goes somewhere else, or is he just satisfied at Liberty?
He's not satisfied there, and I think I think some of these jobs are. We're now getting into Hugh Freeze territory. I don't know if Whit Babcock at Virginia Tech would swing on him, but somebody will, and somebody should. It's not going to happen in the SEC. For whatever reason, there's still this vapor cloud that follows Hugh Freeze around. But he's really a good coach. And if you can get past, and it's more the NCAA issues, I think, than the personal indiscretions. I don't think most people really care, you know, that you did whatever he's accused of doing. And there's still some debate about exactly what that is. But the NCAA issues do haunt you a little bit. But I think he can overcome that. And I think he's a coach we always forget about because it depends on the individual, the athletic director. If you can stomach the backlash, and it's not really publicly, it's inside the Beltway. It's, mm-hmm. it's from other schools and other ADs.
Yeah, speaking with Paul Feinbaum here on the DDC. So I guess another name that it seems like it's turned into a weekly on the show with you. What would it be a hit without talking about Dan Mullen? And I've got to believe in your mind, you're sitting there, you see them down 42-35 at home at the half to Samford. I can only imagine what your show would have been like this week if Florida loses that game. And even I said yesterday that, or Monday, all bets would, because I was like, well, Dan Mullen's going to get another year. He's going to be, you know, things are going to get weird and awkward, but he's going to have another year. But I was like, all bets would have been off if they lose to Samford. Like, I don't know what would have happened. What were you thinking watching them give up 50-something to Samford?
Yeah, and I think don't focus on who won the game. We all knew Samford was eventually going to fall apart. It was the fact that they gave up 52 a week after firing the defensive coordinator. And I think, you know, had the game ended and Dan Mullen said, listen, we have a new coordinator. We did a lot of things wrong. We got two huge games left. Leave it at that. But instead, Dan Mullen can't leave things alone. He has to defend the indefensible, the fact that they were celebrating and dancing. He was touting the stats against Samford. And it's like Dan Mullen can't win because Dan Mullen always thinks he's smarter than everyone else. And then on Monday, he starts debating the media. I mean, these are things that freshmen in public relations at Vanderbilt or Tennessee or anywhere else know better than to do. And the narrative is this, Scott Strickland, the athletic director, does not want to fire him. I don't think that really matters anymore. I think it really matters is what the rest of this season looks like. You know, should he lose? I think the biggest game is Florida State because it's the last game and it means more. But even a loss at Missouri or some combination of two losses, I think he probably would be gone. I don't think you can defend him any longer. And if you believe in him, you know, what is going to be different a year from today? Florida in 2013 had Will Muschamp as the coach. They lost to Georgia Southern. Jeremy Foley, the so-called dean of the SEC, ADs, said he really deserves another chance. It was a disaster. And that's the risk you take. Is it going to be worse a year from now? But ask the AD of Tennessee a couple of years ago who decided, let's give Butch Jones another year. It will get better.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum. And, Paul, as we continue to talk about coaching carousel, a name that I hear a lot now, whether it's – you know, one of the big jobs, LSU, obviously he's linked to from his past, but Washington. But Dave Aranda, who's done a nice job at Baylor, how do you view his stock right now?
Very high. And, you know, the LSU connection, I think, has to be considered strong. And, you know, I think he's legitimate anyway. I mean, this thing's about to start really clicking. And, you know, Florida, you know, if it becomes available in the next 2 weeks, just makes it even more complicated. But you have to think by now, LSU and Southern Cal have had, you know, 6 weeks to 2.5 months to get on the right page with their guys. So I think Aranda fits into all of this. He's got a strong connection at LSU. I do believe that they wanted Jimbo Fisher. It's hard to imagine that happening now. And I've never seen a coach double down more on not going someplace. And I really believe, I talked to a guy who covers the Aggies yesterday, that some of this is contrived. That instead of spending the week talking about what a poor job Jimbo did against Ole Miss, they all collectively talked about how he's not going anywhere and how they're about to have the number one recruiting class in the country, which, yeah, good. I'm happy to see it. But I've never heard a school publicly get involved in this. I mean, the official school football site tweeted Jimbo's denial. The athletic director jumped in. You tell me, guys. Usually, you can't get a school to acknowledge that their coach has ever looked at elsewhere. But this school is all in on Jimbo's not going to LSU.
Do you buy Lincoln Riley? You know, downplaying the interests and the LSU job. I know he was asked about it yesterday. And what do you think the future is for him? Does he finally make the jump to the NFL, or do you think he just sticks it out at Oklahoma?
I can't believe under any circumstance why Lincoln Riley would leave Oklahoma to go to LSU. I mean, LSU is a great job, but so is Oklahoma. And to me, he just looks the part. If you look around the NFL, he looks like Kingsbury. He looks like McVay. I mean, he would be perfect in the NFL. And I think he's waiting for that. I don't know. You know, we all thought he would go to the Cowboys a couple of years ago. I mean, the Cowboys job could always be open. Maybe that's still on his mind. But I thought he shot that one down pretty with an economy of words.
Yeah, no doubt about that. How bad of a loss was Auburn to Mississippi State, considering the lead that they had?
Pretty bad. But I think in sports, the worst thing you can do, it doesn't matter what the sport is to blow a big lead. It just, you get no credit for having the lead. You get all the blame for losing it. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, Brian Harsin was heading to College Station with an inside shot at maybe getting to the playoffs with, you know, some unbelievable things happening. And now the season is spiraling out of control. And, you know, there's no escape. And they lose not only the kicker, who's, you know, really quality, high quality, but they lose their best player in Bo Nix, who, much maligned, but still is somebody you need if you're going to win a big game like Alabama next week.
And then did Ole Miss show you anything that you didn't know? I mean, they have the two losses, but that's a pretty good win, even though it was at home, pretty good win to take care of Texas A&M because they were surging.
It was a great win. That's a program that has never, I don't think, won 10 regular season games. We had my dog is not an Ole Miss fan.
Apparently not.
he's an Aggie all the way. Lane was on our show yesterday, and you know, he talked about how, you know, if a couple of receivers had not been hurt earlier, they could have done this. I mean, the Rebels losing at Auburn really cost them a chance to have a lot of playoff conversation. But it's still a great year at Ole Miss.
So that wasn't Smokey?
Yeah, I saw Smokey Saturday in Knoxville. I don't know if I've ever heard Smokey bark.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your conversations like with Lane? Because, I mean, you have a pretty good BS meter, and we know that he's got a master's in that, but, I mean, that's kind of his shtick.
Yeah, but he does it in such a low-key, cerebral way. He's not a loud guy. And, you know, I've interviewed him a lot, and, you know, sometimes he can really be funny and that kind of sarcastic way. And sometimes he just really, you're going, are you there? I think he had a great weekend, though, the whole game day thing. He knows how to play. He's very smart. He's very aware. Lane Kiffin does not miss anything on social media. I often wonder when he has time to look at film, because I see him, you know, popping up at weird hours of the night.
I've got to be honest. I've had those same thoughts, Paul, and I'm wondering, does he just have somebody on staff that literally monitors everything and presents it to him? Because I don't know how he does it. It does. I feel the same way. He misses nothing.
Yeah, you have to. Unless you're 13 years old and you spend the entire day staring at a phone, I don't know how you keep up with all this stuff because it moves so quickly. And, I think he understands that where he's made mistakes in the past. And, you know, he's just extremely popular. And I don't know, you know, where he fits into all these coaching jobs. I think he's a candidate for whatever job becomes open, but I'm not certain, especially at LSU. I think that job might be out of his realm. But other than that, I could see him getting offers.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul, we always enjoy the visit. Thanks, as always. Have a great show today. Have a great week. We'll do it next week.
I appreciate it, guys. See you next week.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum. He is brought to you every Wednesday by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. You say you've got something for ESPN Plus for us discuss?
The coaching carousel.
Okay, I don't want to look because that's what I want to know. I want to try to weigh in.
All the jobs that are open right now.
Ooh, okay. And so they are they're trying to connect dots. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that. That's right up
my
alley.
I was looking through it, and it's pretty interesting.
You sound a little nasally, do you? A little stuffed.
Yeah, the weather can't decide what it wants to do.
I know.
And whenever that happens, that I get the sinuses. And
wait till tomorrow.
Like, oh, I know. I mean, it's just going to get worse. And, you know, the world in which we live now, it's like, oh no, he's stuffed up. Like, what does that mean? It means sinuses. That's what it means. So.
Yeah, something you've dealt with most of your life. But
yeah, but right. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Hanging in.
You're right. It will drop like 30 degrees tomorrow, though.
I know.
So I don't know if that helps you or hurts you. I don't know.
Well, it'll clear up some of the pollen and everything.
Yeah,
but,
true.
You know, it just the weather's drunk, so it is what it is.
All right, we'll come back. We will discuss this article on ESPN Plus on the other side. Good stuff from Paul Feinbaum as always. Jim Wyatt coming up at 11 o'clock as you listen to Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, you can call anytime you want. Yes, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, I mean, heck, Elijah, if you want people to call you, then be caller 5 right now, okay? And we'll give you a pair of tickets to see Three Dog Night at the Ryman. That'll be on November 24th. That's in, what, a week?
Yeah, that'll be a good show.
Elijah said call him, so call him. 615-737-1025. Be lucky, caller 5. It pays to listen to the show. Good luck. You get to go to a cool show a week from today. All right, something else that's cool. Go to our website, thegamenashville.com. Hit / deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to Brooklyn Bowl. Tell you what, there's all kinds of cool things. By the way, they've got
I've heard really good things.
They've got live shows there. I know. They've got lanes with an incredible view. Get your deal right now at thegamenashville.com /deals. And, you know, the cool thing is, you know, holidays are just around the corner. It'd be a cool gift.
Uh-huh.
Really cool gift.
It's hard to believe that the holidays are just around the corner, but there you go. The year has flown by.
The year indeed has flown by as the phones explode. But, yeah, seriously, go to our website. And if you're looking for an idea, something different, it's not just that one. Brooklyn Bowl, by the way, is right next door to First Horizon Park where the Sounds play. And you hear great things about it, but there's all kinds of deals on there. And I'm just telling you, it's a good gift idea, something different, a little outside-the-box thinking. Okay, kind of like ESPN Plus. I guess they've tried to do some outside-the-box thinking on connecting dots and who will land where.
Yep. So this is Adam Rittenberg and Chris Lowe, two of the best, and very well connected in the industry. So
they are.
They have the latest buzz on all the open jobs. So LSU, USC, Virginia Tech, Washington. We haven't really talked much about that, but that job is now open. TCU and Washington State. They also touch on Miami. How hot is that seat getting? And
seems
then
like
some,
it's very hot.
I think so. And then some other moves in the Pac-12. Looks like that there could be more moves coming within the Pac-12. So let's start in the Pac-12 with Washington, as Jimmy Lake was fired a couple of days ago after just two seasons. They mention two names that they believe will get significant interest for that job.
Out west, I kind of feel like I never know where they're going, so lay it on me. I have no idea what Washington's thinking.
Dave Aranda and Matt Campbell.
Yeah, that's not happening. But why would Washington be the gig that finally gets Matt Campbell out of Ames, Iowa?
I don't know.
No offense, but I mean, right? I mean, have there been bigger schools that have won a Matt Campbell?
Yeah, I don't see it. Now they also add Kalani Sitake from BYU as being a potential candidate.
He's done a great job there.
He has 19-3 since the start of the 2020 season.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Chris Peterson is going to be involved in the search, but they also mention in here, you know, it seems unlikely, but would Washington not be foolish to at least ask him back? I mean, he's been around. He's been advising the program, but I feel like he's done. He's got a TV gig. Mm-hmm. So they throw his name out there. Jay Norvell is another one from Nevada.
Brother of Mike Norvell?
I don't know if they're – I have no idea if they're related or not.
I don't know.
Yeah, Nevada's head coach.
Okay.
Thrown in there. TCU. There's really only one major name connected to this job.
To TCU. By the way, how long was Patterson there? He was there a long time.
Long time. 260 and 181 at TCU.
Who? And there's only one name.
I mean, there's a couple that are mentioned, but there's...
But they're saying this is your leader in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
By far.
And I don't know. I'll give you... It's a name that has been out there for a while. They mentioned Billy Napier.
Oh, it's good. Well, okay. That's
but it's not Billy Napier that I'm talking about.
We're just going to name Billy Napier to every coaching
Sonny Dykes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. They say the TCU search is believed to be focused on SMU's Sonny Dykes until diverted elsewhere. Although SMU is set to give Dykes an enhanced contract to stay, the school can't offer the advantages of playing in a Power 5 conference that TCU can.
Isn't Sonny Dykes intriguing?
He's, yeah.
Because here's what I don't understand. Did he not do a good job at La Tech?
I think he did a fine job.
Did he not do a good job at Cal?
Yep.
Well, so why doesn't he? Why is he like 2 or 3 years and out? What are we not? I mean, what am I missing on Sonny Dykes? Like, he does a good job, and then within 3 years he's out every stop. Why?
I don't know.
I mean, he had an 8-5 season at Cal. Which this just in, last time I checked, Cal's not been a powerhouse in a while or ever.
I mean, I don't think Cal's...
They've had really good players come through there, right? Yeah. I mean, we know that. But, I mean, it's not like they're a juggernaut in the Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever it's been over the years. But 8-5 and you won the bowl game? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. At La Tech, he was there 3 years. Last two seasons went 8-5 and 9-3. Okay, this just in. And he's already had a 10-win season at SMU, and looks like he's well on his way to another 10-win season at SMU. But why doesn't he ever stay anywhere very long?
I don't know.
Like, I guess it should be more like 3 or 4 years. It's like 4 years, even though at SMU he has, I think this is year 5, I think. So this is actually the longest stint. It's like he went 3 years at La Tech. Okay. Stepping stone job, bounce to the next gig. Okay, Power 5 school, go to Cal. Cal, 4 years, which, like I said, I thought he did a good job there. I don't know what Cal's expectations are.
I mean, I think Cal has unrealistic expectations.
Well, clearly. I mean, I mean, I think.
I don't think that's a – it's not a bad job.
How have they done since Sonny Dykes?
Not well. I don't know their record, but, I mean, you never hear anything on them.
Well, I can – tell you real quick, but and now he's in year 5 doing a great job at SMU. But I'm going to get you what he's done at Cal, or what Cal has done since him, because it wasn't good enough when he was there, but yet
they're 3-6 right now.
So let me give you, since he's been gone, 5-7. No, let's see. That was his last year. Okay, so since post-Sonny Dykes, looks like Justin Wilcox is the guy who's been there the whole time since him. So Justin Wilcox has gone 5-7, 7-6, 8-5, and last year they're 1-3. They only played 4 games. And this year they're not very good. I mean, is that worse than Sonny Dykes?
No, I don't think so.
Is that better than Sonny Dykes? I mean, I just – like I said, I don't know what Cal is. So what do we not know? Is there something about Sonny Dykes behind the scenes, you know, that we don't know? But anyway.
Well, does he fall in that category of, you know, some coaches that it just, you got the 3 to 4 year window and then
they kind of wear out their welcome?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know he is the top target for TCU is what it appears to be.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Knows the area, so. That would make sense. All right, LSU. This is a funny quote from an industry source. Once Scott, the athletic director, finally gives up on Jimbo, he doesn't have many obvious choices. Do you look at Matt Campbell? Can you hire Lane? Billy Napier is probably your basement. For LSU.
Sure, Billy Napier appreciates that.
Yeah, I don't view him as that. But Kiffin's the interesting one. You know, does Kiffin, with what he's done at Ole Miss, is that where it eventually goes, that LSU turns to somebody like him? Mel Tucker's name is continued to be mentioned just because of his connections. Another possibility is Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien.
At where?
LSU.
That's, I mean, okay.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Can you imagine? What would the reaction be?
Oh, everybody would go, what? You hired, or you fired Coach O for Billy O? Like, I think that's what it would be. There'd be uproar for that.
So you get...
And Dave Aranda is, of course, connected
Coach O, who's one of them, right? I mean, there's nobody that's going to relate to that fan base better than him to just cold and frigid Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Crusty Bill O'Brien. Well, that would be quite the change. He better do a whole lot of winning really fast.
I don't see it.
Because he's not going to get brownie points for likability.
All right, USC.
Okay.
The names.
Jimmy or yep. James.
Yep. He's one.
Okay.
There's another big one.
Bob Stoops?
No. Not Bob Stoops.
We haven't brought him up in a while.
The names being mentioned most continue to be Campbell, Aranda, James Franklin, and... There's a big one.
Who?
Luke Fickell.
Oh.
Fickell is in the strongest position to land the job, and not only because USC athletic director Mike Bone hired him at Cincinnati. His stock couldn't be higher after getting Cincinnati in position to challenge for a playoff spot. While Fickell is rooted in his home state of Ohio and soon will lead a Big 12 program if he stays at Cincinnati, he might be more open to talking to taking an elite level job in a very winnable league such as the Pac-12. An industry source said, quote, he might have to take it. They also say Aranda is perhaps the only realistic USC candidate with Southern California roots as he grew up in Redlands, California. Franklin's name has been tied to USC the longest. He seems like a good fit for the program, the environment, and for Bone. Quote, if AD Sandy Barber has to kick a few more dollars to keep James happy and keep him there at Penn State, she'll do that, an industry source said.
There's your example of a guy that's got like a 5-year window, and then it could be time to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. We've covered a lot of the candidates for Virginia Tech. Chadwell, Dave Clawson, Brent Venables, Mike Elko, Tony Elliott,
yep.
Shane Beamer.
Basically the list we ran.
Yeah.
We read yesterday.
Hugh Freeze is on there. Washington State, it looks like they'll probably stick with the interim that they have there. But here's the more moves coming to the Pac-12. This is what I wanted to share here. So Chip Kelly seems to be safe because he's got him bowl eligible. Things are finally starting to turn around at UCLA. But I found this to be... interesting. The Arizona State job is being watched by coaches and agents. There are even some whispers about Utah coach Kyle Whittingham and potential retirement. If Mario Cristobal were to leave Oregon, the league would have most or all of its top-end jobs open. One name to keep in mind is Auburn coach Brian Harsin. While leaving Auburn after 1 year would be stunning, Harsin has waited at Boise State for top Pac-12 jobs. Now they're opening. Would he consider a chance to return to more familiar territory?
I would say the way this first year has gone, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
Now that he's been, you know, in the eye of the storm and understands the lay of the land and really, truly how it works there, how many people want to sign up for that year in and year out at Auburn?
Yeah, I don't.
Can you ever
so.
Keep him happy? I mean, the answer is no.
And if that's where he's Arizona State's interesting, because I think Herm's done a fine job there, and surprised a lot of people, including us. Like I wasn't sure on that when they hired him, but you know, if that job opens up, if Cristobal leaves for something else, which I feel like he's one of those that he's always mentioned but never does anything. Like it just. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't really know. I mean, I guess the stock's high, but he doesn't blow me away. Joe Moorhead's name is batted about with some of these mid-tier jobs. Who's the OC there at Oregon? But that could be interesting if the Pac-12 has a lot of things open.
Yeah.
So
I also think there's some interesting games this week.
Yeah. Not as much.
Utah is favored over Oregon. Anybody catch that? That's the game Saturday night on ABC.
Yeah, I did see that. Not a ton in the SEC, but you know, Michigan State, Ohio State's obviously interesting. Wake Forest, Clemson, just because Wake needs to continue that momentum.
Mm-hmm. They could make things interesting.
They could definitely make things interesting.
They win that game. They could make things really interesting.
SMU Cincinnati. I mean, this is Cincinnati's got to have a signature, if you want to call it that, win. But I mean, SMU's 8-2.
Yeah, no, it's they have better Notre than Dame. What they've been playing. So
yeah, but I mean, this is they got to take care of business there.
Did you see where Eddie George and the Tigers are going to be?
Yeah, they're going to be in Starkville.
They're going to be in Starkville, taking on Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. I think that'll be good. Good test for them.
Oklahoma.
Mississippi State has surprised me. Yeah. I just didn't think they were very good, and they have definitely done some things.
Well, I mean, they're 6-4, and they've got a chance, you know. I'd say 8-win season. They got to be. You know, that's including a bowl game because I don't know if they're going to. I don't think they're going to beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. But you also never know when that game happens. You just never know.
Yeah, these rivalry games, you never know.
It gets crazy.
Auburn could upset Alabama and screw everything up. You never know. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, that could happen though. I think after this weekend, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some fantastic matchups to close out the month of November. Great matchups, so we'll see. Congratulations to Connie Winfrey. Connie was lucky caller 5. Go enjoy that show next week at the Ryman. Thanks for listening. We'll come back. We'll start hour number 2 with Jim Wyatt. We'll talk a little bit about the Titans, talk about what they're going to be doing at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, other than hosting the Texans. A lot of things to get into with Jim, and we'll do that next here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.